Morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. Sixth Sunday in Lent. We're nearly there. Welcome to our Palm Sunday service as we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Some call it the tearful entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, 1 week before we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And this morning, as our worship celebrates this day, we stand with our Christian sisters and brothers in the crowd, stirred up, shouting our praises to the King of Kings, our Saviour, whilst the rest of the city say, "Who is this?" Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and now was the time. This was the place to secure that salvation. Some words from Anne Siddle. The story of Palm Sunday tells us of how people removed their cloaks and spread them out in front of Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. The cloak we wear every day to face the world is both the persons we wish to present and our defense against the elements. As we come to worship, may we be willing to lay down our defences and disguises at the feet of the one who sees us as we really are. And then, set free for worship, may we offer our praises with open hearts and open lives. Amen. Let's sing number 9, "All Glory, Lord and Honour." Lord means to praise. So let's prepare ourselves to praise this week. Number 9. Come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. God of all time, as we prepare to worship you today and this week, help us to call to mind these events in Jesus' life so that we can see their significance on our present lives and for the future that you are preparing for all creation. We praise you, O God, for your salvation of the world through Jesus Christ. He entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Just as we will carry our branches, may we follow Christ in the way of the cross, that dying and rising with him, we may enter into your kingdom through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Loving Father, as we journey with your Son in this week of remembrance and hope, help us to understand you and your love for the world more clearly. Transform us by the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and prepare us for service in your kingdom. Like the people who greeted Jesus as he entered Jerusalem and later pronounced, "Crucify him," we are fickle people who often deny Christ in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. Remembering the events of Jesus' last week helps us to see ourselves for what and who we are: sinners in need of a Saviour. A Saviour, praise God, that we have in Christ. In honesty and hope, we confess our sins to God. O King of Glory, we confess that our praise of your majesty has often been faint, our performance as citizens of your kingdom sometimes lacking. For we have surrendered to the enemy by our secret and our known sins. For our failures, you died, Lord Jesus. For our restoration, you rose again. Draw us closer to you in this holy week, that our eyes may catch the vision of your tears and our hearts the wonder of your grace. By the Holy Spirit's continuing discipline, let us be loyal and loving servants of the King. We offer our praise to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God of all time and place, in Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross, you opened up for us the path to eternal life. Grant that we, being born again of water and spirit, may joyfully serve you in the newness of life and faithfully walk in your holy ways. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we come to sing our next song, let's make way, as it says, number 457, through all that threatens to distract us from our King and Kings, and let his kingdom in. 457, make way, make way.
Thank you.
wasn't a bad effort. As we come to think about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we see that it's one of those that is recorded in all four Gospels. All of them record it similarly, but different. The triumphal entry marks Jesus' authority as Messiah. He's acclaimed as the Messiah, but he enters humbly, riding on a donkey. As we look at John's recording, in the prior chapters, he records the death of Lazarus, but also that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The plot against Jesus, and Jesus removes himself, as we see in those chapters leading up, from all of his public appearances. And then, as we're about to hear, he arrives in Bethany and is anointed by Mary because his hour is about to come. And so I'll ask Tricia if she'll give our reading, please.
The reading is taken from John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19, and can be found on page 1079. 1079. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, the disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done those things to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord.
As we hear that encounter again, the verse that stands out to me and the one that I keep thought, well, I was thinking about during the week was all the crowds, both here and leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. Verse 18 says that there was also why the crowd met him, because they had heard that he had done many signs. Human nature is such that on one day it can receive Christ with palms and rejoicing, and the next send him to the cross. Multitudes of people admire Christ, but few become consistent disciples. How about us? Are we just one of the admirers, or are we a true disciple? And we'll think about that in a minute. But first of all, we'll sing number 580, "Ride On, Ride On in Majesty." And I love the way that our predecessors express so eloquently the events of that Passion Week. And let's not let the significance be lost just because some words have been lost to us in everyday vocabulary.
Thank you.
to wake you up before I start speaking. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come now to hear your word to us, as we think about the events that led you to the cross and on to your glorious resurrection, we come this day, this Palm Sunday, to hear, Lord, how the crowds greeted you. Lord, perhaps thinking about how we greet you today and every day. Open our hearts now to hear your word. Amen. As I said, how quickly public opinion can change. When Jesus entered Jerusalem for the Passover feast, he was welcomed by crowds cheering to have him made king. But by the end of the week, as we know, the crowds were demanding that he be crucified. Much is said and studied regarding crowd mentality. I've said before, probably, there's a standing joke that if a British person sees a queue, they will join it. Sometimes it's easier for us to go along with the crowd. It's much harder to make a stand, sometimes seemingly alone. Do we recognize ourselves in the fickle crowds? Did anyone watch the football yesterday, either men's or women's? You can imagine the crowds filling the stands, cheering on their favourite. I have to admit, I got a bit bored during the men's match and went and did something else. Yeah, a few people are nodding. Yeah, it was a bit dull, to say the least. But, you know, they always start off full of enthusiasm, singing for their relevant teams, singing their hearts out. I love cheering for a team that's winning. Been able to do a lot more of that this season, so I'm very happy. But my interest does start to diminish when they start losing. Perhaps I struggle to sing "You'll Never Walk Alone" when all I want to do is go and make my dinner. Although my heckles are raised of seeming injustice when decisions go against my team. I love being part of something new and exciting. But when the energy needed to make it happen is sapping me dry, I struggle to maintain my enthusiasm. I love following Jesus when he's doing something that's exciting and impossible. But sometimes I retreat when he expects me to do something really difficult. It's exciting to follow Jesus when I can do it part of the in crowd. It's easy to trust him when he outsmarts the clever people and outmaneuvers the people in power, as we read in the Gospels. But when he begins to talk about suffering and sacrifice and death, like the disciples, I think often we do hesitate. So again, let's put ourselves in the crowd that day, perhaps that week. I like to think that I would have followed Jesus all the way to the cross, but I have my doubts. After all, if I don't or won't or can't speak up for him in places where it's safe, what makes me think I can do it in a crowd of opponents? How thankful that I am that Jesus died for the inconsistent followers, so that we can become devoted followers. Christ deserves not to walk alone, but to have full-time followers. The Apostle John tells us why Palm Sunday happened, and I'm reading it from the Message. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, were there giving eyewitness accounts. It was because they had spread the word of this latest God sign that the crowd swelled to a welcoming parade. The Sunday parade of palms, amongst other things, was a celebration of a resurrection. But that resurrection, as we read earlier on in John 11, was preceded by a confusing death. Lazarus had died. We don't know what he died of, only that he was ill. And I should think, with the absence of medical assistance that we take for granted in our Western world now, that the first century death was probably unpleasant. And we know that his death brought profound grief to his sisters, Martha and Mary, who had nursed him as best they could. And Jesus, their dear friend, who also happened to be the greatest healer in the history of the world, had not turned up. This added grief upon grief for the sisters. Jesus hadn't even made it to the funeral. But when he did finally show up, Lazarus's body had already begun to decompose. Why? Where were you? These were the implied agonizing questions both sisters expressed to Jesus, and they weren't the only ones who were asking. Others present were muttering, could he who had opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? He saved others, could he not have saved Lazarus? To Martha, Jesus gave an ambiguous hint of his purpose, but he too was troubled in spirit to say anything more to Mary. And then, within a matter of minutes, the three of them were elated, weeping together with unexpected, awe-filled joy. Jesus had done exactly what he had foretold. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. But so much more was going on than the happy siblings or the stunned observers or even Jesus' disciples, bless them, I always feel sorry for Jesus' disciples, understood at that time. Not only did this resurrection demonstrate with unprecedented power the reality of who Jesus was, it also set in motion the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Words of Lazarus's resurrection naturally spread. The Jewish authorities' serious concern over Jesus escalated to alarm. And so we read just before our reading that they plotted to murder him. Jesus disappeared from public view for a few weeks and then reappeared in Bethany to share one last and extraordinary dinner at the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. The comments get around quickly, and soon a large crowd gathered to get a glimpse not only of Jesus, but also of the newly resurrected and probably reluctant celebrity, Lazarus. Can you imagine in today's culture what that would have looked like with all this celebrity culture that's going on? It'd have hit every single social media station, wouldn't he? You know, Jesus, Lazarus is alive, look. It's amazing. Being a celebrity for rising from the dead was ironically proving to be deadly, since the chief priests were planning to put Lazarus to death along with Jesus. But Jesus, as always, knew exactly what he was doing. The timing of Lazarus's death, of his astonishing resurrection, of Jesus lying low, and now his public appearance were all coordinated with a prophetic precision that would not be noticed until later. His hour had come at last. The news has to spread. It was time for the ancient gates to raise their heads and the ancient doors to lift in homage. As the psalmist says, the King of Glory was on his way. And so we see, as the news spread and the crowd swelled to receive in procession the one who had raised a man from the dead. Could there be any doubt that he was the Messiah that they'd been waiting for? Doubts would come, but few doubted on that day. People grabbed the palm branches, a symbol of Jewish nationalism, and cried out, Hosanna, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Few, if any, recognized in that ecstatic moment the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, the foal of a donkey. But Jesus recognized that moment, and so he found a young donkey and sat on it. The crowds have been trying to make Jesus their king for a long time now. The crowd up from the country to purify themselves for the Passover festival had the same idea. They want to make Jesus their king of kings. They had expectations of what he would be. So we read that the crowd arm themselves with palm branches and go out to meet him. And using an adaptation of Psalm 118, they shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. And once again, the crowd wants to make Jesus their expected king, their national political Messiah. And once again, Jesus will have no part of it. We should pause, perhaps, and reflect on how we seek to make Jesus our sort of king. If we take this account seriously, that's what we might be doing when we wave our palms this Sunday. No one waving palm branches in the crowd wanted or expected Jesus to go willingly to the cross. If they had come up from the lake or even over from Bethany, they were looking for a miracle worker. If they were waiting for Jesus' confrontation with the authorities, they wanted and expected a revolutionary to overthrow their present situation. This crowd is not the only one to lay their expectations on Jesus. We too are happy to wave our palms and sing his praises as long as Jesus is our sort of king. What expectations do we place on Jesus? What does the world tell us that we want? Do we lay those expectations on him and come away disappointed, hoping that faith will lead to earthly success? And Jesus again will have no part of meeting our expectations. Jesus will have no part in being our sort of king, because Jesus is committed to being God's sort of king. And that's the good news. Jesus is committed to being God's King of Kings. And so Jesus corrects the crowd's expectations and ours, seated on a donkey, not riding or mounted on a war chariot. Jesus comes humbly. The disciples only understand that this after Jesus is glorified, as we read later on, which means to be made free from sin and saved. Understanding this for us can be a lifetime's work. And what of us? As we wave our palms as the cross passes by, might we dare cease our waving, allow them to fall to the ground as a way of releasing our expectations of the kind of king that Jesus should be? Because when we do, we are free to enter with joy upon those mighty acts by which God has given us abundant eternal life. Perhaps the best thing that we can give up for Holy Week is our expectations. I did say that few doubted Jesus on that day, but the few who did exerted a lethal amount of earthly power. as the Pharisees watched this powerful moment with unmistakable implications, they said to each other, as we read in verse 19, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." But this was not resignation on their part. The crowd's elation only hardened the authorities' determination to kill Jesus. And Jesus knew this. In the midst of the prophetic palm-waving party, Jesus knew it would trigger the fulfillment of yet another prophecy. As we read in Isaiah 53, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Jesus knew that Lazarus' end would result in resurrection. He knew this resurrection would result in the crowd celebration. He knew this celebration would result in the authorities' determination for his unjust condemnation. And he knew this condemnation would finish in his own crucifixion. But praise God that he knew his innocent finish would result in the acceptation of his righteousness to many and in a resurrection for far more glorious and world-changing than Lazarus's. Palm Sunday was a celebration of a resurrection, but again, only a prophetic precursor, because 1 week later, a resurrection occurred whose celebration continues and will until Jesus comes again. And look, the world has gone after him. So let us commit to stand with him and not with the fickle many, the crowds, because Christ deserves not to walk alone, but to have full-time followers. Amen. Let's pray. Another prayer written by Anne Siddall. It is relatively easy for us to distribute palm crosses today, and we can easily find music and a few good words to help us remember and reenact Palm Sunday. But what if you arrived inviting us to really lay down something important to us to acknowledge your arrival? What if we knew the imminence of the danger that accompanies you, or sensed that the authorities were watching us as we worship? How then, Jesus, would we meet you today? And what would we spread before you? And how would we regard humility from the one we hope will save the world? Palm Sunday, Jesus, help us to see how and where you enter our world today, and what you ask us to lay at your feet, and how we may welcome you in. Merciful God, as we enter Holy Week and gather at your house of prayer, turn our hearts again to Jerusalem, to the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that united with him and all the faithful, we may one day enter in triumph the city not made by human hands, the new Jerusalem, eternal in the heavens, where with you and the Holy Spirit, Christ lives in glory forever. Amen. So we're going to distribute the palm crosses, and then we're going to have a time of prayer as we think about what Jesus took to him. If you could just take one and pass them on. Thank you. Thank you. The crowd's actions along the road gave rise to the name Palm Sunday. A very large crowd spread their cloaks, as we've heard, and while others cut branches from the palm trees. And we see that only recorded in John's Gospel. On Palm Sunday, many churches will pass out palm leaves or palmed crosses. They are waved in victory and kept in homes as a daily reminder of the victory of Christ. And as we see them and hold them now shaped in the sign of a cross, it reminds us as a symbol of peace and of triumph. And so as we take our palm crosses in, I'm going to say the right hand, because it's just easier for me, because that's how I've got it written down. We're just going to have a time of prayer, and I'm going to give you some instructions, and then I'm just going to pray. And it's just a way of holding them and praying in a different way. I've done it before. So hold the cross in your right hand, and then place your left thumb on the left cross piece. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we come to pray for the world. Loving God, we thank you that your peace reaches into every situation across our world. As we come in prayer now, we remember those places where they are not at peace. We remember, as we've been talking about your holy city of Jerusalem, the problem between Israel and Gaza. We remember the hostilities between Russia and Ukraine. For those wars that continue in Syria and in Afghanistan. Lord, be close to those places that need peace this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Place your left thumb on the right side of the cross piece. And so we come to pray for people in need. Loving God, we thank you that your hope reaches into every situation. Lord, as we think about all those who need your hope today, we pray for those, Lord, who are vulnerable, who are homeless, who are seeking work. Perhaps, Lord, that those who are struggling with illness or bereavement. Lord, be close to those people today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So place your left thumb on the base of the cross piece. As we pray for our community. Loving God, we thank you that your joy reaches into our homes. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't just keep that joy to ourselves, that we would be the lights in our communities that you ask us to be, that people would look at our actions of love and of joy and would want to know more about the Jesus, not just the Jesus of Christmas, but the Jesus of Easter celebration. Lord, as we know from your holy word, we don't stand alone. You stand with us. You give us the words that you want us to speak. Lord, help us to know that you are with us every day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So place your thumb on the top of the cross piece. As we pray for those who lead in our churches and teach us about Jesus. Loving God, we thank you that your love is shared through your church We pray for those members of the body that are led to lead and to preach and to teach. We pray, Lord, in this Holy Week that you will give them your strength and your power and your wisdom to help each one of us to know and to share the good news of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so place your thumb in the centre of the crosspiece. And as we pray for ourselves, loving God, we thank you for Jesus and the love that he showed for each one of us. We thank you for that love as we perhaps see his arms stretched open on the cross. His love holding each one of us, but taking away our sins. We praise God that we have a Saviour who loves us. Help us to follow him more and more each day. Amen. And so we'll sing together and look forward to the day when at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Number 41.
Jesus.
pray. Let's pray. Ride on, Lord Jesus, upon a colt, over cloaks, under branches. Ride on, Lord Jesus, towards a city, through its gates, past the crowds. Ride on, Lord Jesus. As hosannas fade and enemies sneer, as danger closes and friends falter, ride on, Lord Jesus. Showing the way, teaching the truth, bringing life for all in the name of the Lord. Ride on, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you'd just be seated, I have a few notices. If you haven't signed up for your egg, if you're intending to come to the early service next Sunday morning, there is a list in the schoolroom. Please make sure you sign up for one or two hen's eggs. If you're good, there may be chocolate eggs, who knows? But I would suggest that you remember to put your clocks forward, otherwise you will be very late. Also, I put out an email in the week to tell you about the funeral or the celebration of service celebration here for Janet's scarf on the 5th of April. If you could let me know if you're coming afterwards to stay for refreshments, that would be good. And for those who knew Janet well, if I can have your memories of Janet by next Sunday so that I can collate them together ready for that service on the following Friday. Thank you. Be blessed.